Welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is the episode 2. We have Thai Misamphan as a guest. Thai is a lead pastor of International Community Church in Nashville, Tennessee. Hello, Thai. How are you?
I'm great. Great to be back on.
Thank you so much. And it was very exciting to hear your personal story. Now, today is episode 2, and we want to focus on your current ministry. I am very excited to hear about what you do and what God, how God is using you for his kingdom. So my first question is that, can you tell us about your past ministry experiences?
Yeah, so I had some ministry experience as really from a young age, as a teenager, when God first called me to ministry. I began to just kind of lead Bible studies for our youth group, and you know, teach Sunday school at our church, and then led our FCA chapter at our school, our Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Did that throughout high school. Spoke at camps at Lao youth camps and things like that. And so from early on throughout high school and throughout college, was involved in ministry. And then after college, I was in youth ministry for about 2 years at an Anglo church. So did that for 2 years. And then during my years in seminary, I spent about 10 years in Memphis, where I planted a church and pastored it for 10 years. And the church that we planted was working primarily among Bhutanese, Nepali refugees, and also refugees from other countries as well. And so that was up till the last summer, when I then moved here to Middle Tennessee, where I'm currently at my church.
Oh, great. So when you were doing church planting for Bhutanese and Nepalese, what primary language did you use?
Yeah, so I learned a little bit of Nepali so that I could do ministry. Mm-hmm. And so initially used some of my conversational Nepali for the evangelism phase. But once we formed a church, we used English as our primary language, but we had native speakers who also spoke English that we were discipling and that we raised up as leaders to lead in their language.
Wow, that's great. So are they second generation Nepalese Americans, or they are first generation who were able to speak English?
Yeah, I would consider them first generation who have been here for a few years, and so their English developed, and you know, was good enough for us to communicate, for me to do training, but their primary language still was Nepali.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what's your role at your current ministry?
Yes, yeah, so I'm the lead pastor at International Community Church. Essentially what that means is that I give overall leadership in vision and in strategy. I help our church to find and to develop partnerships with other churches and ministries in our city. Currently, I do most of the preaching, the teaching, and the training.
Great. Now, Thai, I remember we met last October at the Southeast Seminary, and then you mentioned about some of your training role as well. So you are a lead pastor, but also you are teaching, or you're training some international people, leaders. So can you explain more about that?
Yeah, so I'm involved with a local ministry here called the International Leadership Center. And basically, we train ethnic or international pastors and leaders that live in Middle Tennessee, but are from many different parts of the world, who have migrated here and are leading ministries. And so that was started by my friend, Dr. Fadi Al-Hagal, and who's Syrian back. Oh, he's Syrian. And so he had this vision to start this training center and recruited me to come on and be a part of that. And so, it's one of the things that I'm passionate about, cross-cultural ministry. I'm passionate about equipping leaders and training. And so it's given me an opportunity to connect with different leaders from different parts of the world and really to, you know, help to see their ministries, thrive and succeed.
Wow, that's very, very exciting. Well, personally, I'm leading a church. It's an international church, and we have refugees from Africa and Asia and many parts of the world. So I always encourage them not just to sit in the pew, but also they will step up and raise up as leaders.
Absolutely.
So, you are already doing it, so I'm very, very excited to hear what God is already doing through your ministry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what are some exciting stories of what God is doing through you at your church life? At your ministry?
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, we recently baptized four new believers in our church. For example, a young man that had gotten into some trouble, and their family came and asked us, to help them out with a few things. And so as we were helping that family, I was able to spend time with him and share the gospel with him and help lead him to Christ and walk with Christ. And so it's just been exciting to see his growth and his development. And of course the others as well in our church, that recently got baptized. And so that's been exciting for us in our church. But on a week to week basis, we have, a leadership team that is out in the community that's helping newly arrived families to adjust to life in America, to resettle. And so that gives us opportunities to be in people's homes, to love them through our actions, to pray for them, and to share Christ with them. And so it's been exciting to be in a situation where we're often the first contact with the Christian community for some of these newly arrived families. And so we're excited about where God is taking us. We want to start a second gen ministry soon to launch that, because we're working right now both with first and second gen, and so we're excited about doing that in the upcoming future.
Wow, praise God. So those four people who are baptized, are they coming from different countries or one country? Are they refugees?
Yeah, so the four that we recently baptized are from one country, but different people groups. So they're Korean and Koreni.
Great. Now, every ministry has ups and downs, and there are exciting stories, but also challenges. So what are some challenges you see in ministry?
Yeah, so in my particular context, as I mentioned, because we work with primarily first gen and some second gen, obviously the challenge for me is that, I'm working cross-culturally. So, and I've been here less than a year, and I'm working with people groups that I have not worked with previously in the past. So there's a steep learning curve for me. I'm still learning some of the basic language. I'm learning the history, their stories, things like that. And so that's been a challenge. I think also in our context with the immigrant community, we're working with people who, if they're newly arrived families, they're often, low income at this point in their life and in their immigration journey. So that's a challenge. And also we're working with working class people that, are working very hard to provide for their families. And so there's not very much margin of time, for commitment and things like that outside of coming on a Sunday morning. And so that's challenging, especially, when you have friends who are in kind of normal kind of American, church ministry, and they've got different ministries going on, and their families can commit time to volunteer here and do this there, and then but your congregation has very little time to give, and you can't blame them. I completely understand. My family was like that, but it does provide challenges for the growth that you want to see, and for some of the commitment you want to see from the people. So I feel like that's been probably our biggest challenge is the busyness of the of our people, and but they love Jesus, and they're devoted to Him, so that's exciting. At the same time, we know that time is a challenge.
Right, I hear you. I experienced the same thing, same challenge in my church.
I could imagine. Yeah.
Right. Well, despite the challenge, how do you disciple refugees?
Yeah, I think, so the time challenge has been something I've had to kind of think through. So I think with discipling refugees, it's especially as an outsider to the culture, I've got to do my best to basically, to essentially be a missionary, right? Like, do my best to find the resources that are out there, that are available. Whether that's Bible stories or audio recordings or whatever else, connecting with people in similar ministries, connecting with, missionaries that are serving in their country and, back home and things like that. And so learning and growing as best I can as a missionary to reach them, and utilizing all the resources that are out there, and then making the most of the time that they do have. So I've got a group of men that I'm training on a weekly basis. Every Thursday morning, it's the time where they're not at work and they're not with their families, and I've got them to commit to an hour and a half a week outside of Sunday, and that's when we do kind of more of the intensive training. Also taking using their cultural practices of hospitality as an advantage to ministry. So we try to do a lot of things in the home, home fellowships. Whenever there's some kind of celebration of a child's birthday party or something like that, we would do a prayer or we would do a Bible study. And so, just understanding that discipleship isn't always going to happen on a Sunday morning, but it happens, week to week, in everyday life. And so, so seeing that discipleship is not just, it's not just a program, but it's life on life. And so the opportunities that we take to, when we go with people to appointments or to whatever else, just sharing Christ with them and sharing, the biblical truths with them as we go, in everyday life with them.
That's great. Now, how do you disciple second generation Asian Americans, and what are some best practices you've done to raise up next generation leaders?
Yeah, with the second gen, it becomes a little bit easier, right? Because they can speak English, and they know the American culture a little bit more. And then also for myself, having grown up as a second gen, just kind of leaning on some of my own experiences and how God has used people in my life to help disciple me, and using that, learning from that and using that to disciple the second gen as well. Really, with the second gen, one is I try to cast vision for them to see themselves as servants of God, as people who can also serve God. I think oftentimes as second gen immigrants, we tend to, from what we see, right? We see that most ministry is done by Americans or is done by, people not like them, right? And so they may have this ingrained mindset, that they're second class when it comes to ministry. And so I try to break that mold and try to help them to see that, no, God can use you. In fact, God wants to use you. And in fact, God wants to use your biculturalism as an advantage for the kingdom, not as a disadvantage. And so, constantly casting that vision for them, helping them to discover God's call in their everyday life to serve Him. And so I think that's the first step is helping them to see that. And then the second step is just bring them alongside with me. You know, when I have speaking engagements or I'm speaking at a church here or there, or when I'm out, you know, with a family or whatever, just bringing them alongside and modeling for them what it looks like for an Asian American to do ministry, not only in the Asian American context, but in other contexts as well. And so I think part of, you know, what that does is, one, it helps them to see, because for me, when I was growing up, I had very little examples of people like me who were in ministry. And so, you know, I longed for that. I wanted to see more of that when I was growing up. And so now I feel like, you know, in the place that I'm at now, I have an opportunity to be that for the next generation, to model and to teach along the way. And so I think that's the biggest key is not just teaching them, but bringing them alongside and modeling and helping to support and helping them to discover what their ministry gifts and callings are.
That's great. Well, my last question is, what kind of ministry partnerships do you have now? Because I know you have some connection with Kareni Ministries in North Carolina. So what kind of ministry partnership do you have?
Yeah, I think that networking and partnerships in ministry is key to kingdom work. And I've always had that mindset from day one. And so anytime I go into a ministry context, I ask, okay, who else is doing this kind of ministry that I can learn from? And how can I get myself, you know, to be with other men and women who are serving, in this context. And so, so locally here, we have a great partnership with a church, Life Point Church. They love us and they love our ministry. And they've been a great partner for a couple of years, even before I came to this church. And so they help us out financially. They help us out, you know, by sending their small groups to come do, you know, to do ministry projects with us. And so we love Life Point. We love our partnership with them. And currently I'm also just meeting with other pastors throughout the city, both American and ethnic, and just sharing our vision for what we want to do, how we want to see the nations reached in Middle Tennessee, and asking for their prayer support, asking for their partnership in ministry. So I don't think we can do this alone. I don't think we should do it alone in our own small church, you know, but that we need to partner with others. So one example, just this past weekend, you know, we had our Easter celebration, and we wanted to do a huge Easter egg hunt for the kids and do all these different activities, and we knew that resources and funding was limited on our part. So I just sort of sent an email out to just some friends and people that I've connected with over the last few months, and just asked them if anyone would like to partner with us to put this together. And almost immediately we had one of our partner churches say, hey, we can't send people this time, but would some money help? And I said, money will always help, And so so they sent a donation for us to be able to purchase candy and Easter egg, plastic eggs for our event. And so things like that. God's always been faithful and always providing in many ways, both financially and with manpower. But I think the key is to network and to find partners.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Thai. If you want to hear more podcasts from us, find the NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.